seated. Take your Bibles. Turn over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Is there anybody here this morning who can honestly say you have never worried about anything? Because if you are, I want you to come up and preach this sermon. What would you think if I told you you could live the rest of your life never worrying again? That if you'll take the truth that I'm going to share with you this morning and put it into practice, you will never have a worry the rest of your life. I can say that because I'm not giving you my solution, but God's way to overcome worry in your life. Stand in respect for the Word of God as I begin reading in verse 25 and reading through the end of the chapter. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow, and they do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory is clothed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. You may be seated. Now, the first thing we need to do today is we need to define what Jesus means by worry. And then we're going to look at the four reasons Jesus gives why we should not worry as Christians. But He doesn't just stop there. He also tells us how we can overcome worry. First, what is worry? Well, the King James translation says, take no thought. Now, that's confusing. Because in our day and time, when you say take no thought, you mean don't even think about it. Don't even have what I would call a legitimate concern about it, or a normal concern. Now, the people in King James's day realized what that meant. They knew it meant to be worried, to be anxious. And so we need to look at the Greek word, which is merimna, which literally comes from the root word to be torn apart or to be drawn in different directions. Now think about it a moment. Isn't that what worry does? It pulls you inwardly in different directions. You feel like you're being torn apart on the inside. And so the word worry is not just a normal concern, but it goes to being anxious and restless. It may even show itself as a compulsiveness, a fear about something. And one of the ways that Greek scholars understand the words of the New Testament is they find papyri that date back to that time and they see how the words are used in normal writing. They found a papyri which was a letter that a wife wrote to her husband who was on a trip. And this is what she said. I cannot sleep at night or by day Because of my merimna, my worry I have about your welfare. So the word used means to be anxious, to have such an anxiety that it keeps you awake at night. Now, you can tell the difference between legitimate concern and worry in your head and in your stomach. Worry gives you headaches. Legitimate concern does not. Worry causes knots in your stomach. Legitimate concern does not. Worry causes your stomach to churn. Legitimate worry does not. Legitimate concern does not. Worry keeps you up at night. Legitimate concern does not. So I think we really know the difference, don't we? Between just having a legitimate concern, making plans, and when it bridges over into the stomach turning and it just kind of, it's like a cloud, it just hangs over you and you find yourself waking up at night and you can't go back to sleep. That's worry, and that's what Jesus is talking about. Worry can be defined as fear coupled with unbelief. Fear. You ever thought about it? Worry is just a form of fear. You worry, you're fearful about what's happened in the past and what that might mean for now. But particularly, you're fearful about what will happen in the future. And you start thinking about all the things that could happen bad. And then you start getting upset, and that leads to something else being bad. And I lose my job, and if I lose my job, I can't make my house payments. If I can't make my house payments, I lose my house. And if I lose my house, that means I'm going to lose my car. And if I lose my car, I can't find another job. And you just go going, 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 going. And your stomach's just churned in knots. You got headaches. But you're worried about things in the future. And it's also coupled with unbelief. And your unbelief is you don't believe God can take care of you in the future if those things happen. You see? You're not only fearful that these bad things are going to happen, but you also don't believe that if it did happen, God could take care of you. And so your stomach just starts churning. You start having a headache and you just worry. The third thing I want you to see is worry is entirely an inward thing. It's really not the problems you face that cause your worry. It's how you see those problems. It's how you think about those problems that cause the worry, the fear, the anxiety. Prime example in the Scripture. As Israelites were preparing to go into the Promised Land, Joshua sent out 12 spies. You remember? 12 spies came back. They'd seen the same thing. So they had the same issues facing them, right? 10 of the spies said, "We can't do it. There are giants over there. We're just like grasshoppers in their sight." And they were afraid. We can't take it. Even though God's promised it to us, they're too great. They're too big. But there were two. Joshua and Caleb had seen the same thing. But they weren't afraid. They said, "You know, God can give us a victory. God's promised it to us. We just need to trust God." So you see, it's not actually your problems that cause the worry. It's inwardly how you see those problems. That's why one person can be all worried about a situation and another person in the same situation not be worried at all. And then I want you to see that worry is a sin. Worry is a sin because worry is rooted in unbelief and fear. And unbelief is a sin. Jesus commands three times in these verses for us not to worry. Now you remember the Greek language is very precise, and the way a word is spelled tells you if it's a command. And three times Jesus gives the command for us not to worry. First, in verse 25, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried." That's a command. Not a suggestion. It's not a good idea. It's a command. I command you, do not be worried. And then again in verse 31. Do not worry then. Again, it's a command. And then again in verse 34. So do not worry about tomorrow. So when He commands us not to worry, and we do worry, what is that other than disobedience, which is a sin? Now, I grant you, it's a socially acceptable sin. But let me tell you, it's not acceptable to God. We may say, well, it's just the way I am, preacher. You know, I'm just a worry wart. That doesn't excuse you in God's sight. All right, let's summarize. What have we said about worry? First, it's more than a normal concern. Secondly, you can tell the difference in your head and in your stomach. Third, it's fear coupled with unbelief. Fourthly, it's entirely an inward thing. And fifthly, it is a sin. Now Jesus gives us four reasons why we should not worry. Number one, because worry means we are trusting in something other than God. Look in verse 25. Jesus says, for this reason, I say to you, do not be worried. Well, what's He mean, for this reason? Well, you got to go back to what He's been talking about. And what we saw the last couple of weeks, He's been talking about how our possessions can possess us. He's been talking about how our possessions are our God's chief rival in our lives. That our possessions can capture our heart. They can captivate our mind. They can control us. Or control our will. He says you cannot serve God. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and your wealth and your possessions. Can't do it. You can't trust in God and your bank account at the same time. Now, you're going to be trusted in one or the other. You can't do both. And so Jesus says, if you are worrying, it's because you are not trusting God. If you are worrying, it's because you are putting your trust in something other than God. For example, man, I'm all tied up in my all in knots, you say, because I'm afraid I'm going to lose my car because I can't make the payments. Well, it's because you are looking to your bank account to be the sufficiency needed to make your car payment. Right? You're looking to that job as your source of income. So if you think about losing your job, you get all worried because you put everything in perspective of that, and you say, I lose my job, I lose my check, I lose my check, I can't pay the house, I can't pay the house, I lose the house, I can't pay the car, I lose the car, and you just go down the road. But it all starts because you looked at your bank account as that which you trusted in. Right? Now, if you're putting your trust in God, you say, yeah, I might lose my job, but guess what? God's my supply, not my job. He's just using that job. He'll use something else. If you're trusting God, you don't need to worry because you know God is sufficient for whatever will come your direction. Jesus says the real issue is, in verse 25, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing. Jesus says the real issue is your spiritual life. Not your clothes, not the food you eat, but your spiritual life. And so He said, for this reason, don't worry. Because when you worry, it shows you're trusting in something other than God. And that is detrimental to your spiritual life. But when you boil it down, life is a lot more than just our clothes and our food. And so, do not worry. Instead, trust God. So that's the first reason we should not worry, because if we're worrying, it shows we're not trusting God. Second reason, don't worry because God loves and cares for you. In verses 26 through 30, Jesus talks about the birds of the air. He said, look, they don't sow, they don't reap, but yet God provides for them. Look at the grass of the field, the flowers. You know, they don't spin, they don't toil, but yet they are arrayed in great beauty. More so than Solomon. He says, if God so takes care of the birds and the flowers and the grass is here today and gone tomorrow, how much more will He take care of you as one of His children? How much more will He take care of you that He has died that you might have eternal life? In verse 30, He makes it so clear. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace. He's talking about how unimportant the grass is. Will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Again, the little faith shows us that worry is coupled with unbelief. We worry because we're not trusting God. God did not bring you into salvation. He did not send His Son Jesus to bear the weight of your sin and die as punishment for your sin in order just to drop you once you come into His kingdom. Romans 8:32 says, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? God didn't spare the greatest thing, His own Son. Why would He spare anything else you needed? He wouldn't. He's already given you the greatest gift. He's not going to hold back anything you and I as His children need. If you adopted a child, when you adopt that child, you take responsibility to feed that child, to clothe that child, to see that child is educated, to spiritually nourish that child, right? Well, as Christians, we are in God's adopted family. We are adopted sons and daughters of God. He did not bring us in His family just to turn away from us and let us down and abandon us. He has promised to give us everything we need. The Bible is filled with God's promises to take care of His people. Now, since most of our worries tend to be financial worries, God has abounded in His promises concerning finances. Now, there are about 500 promises in the Bible about prayer. There are about 500 promises in the Bible to do with God's faithfulness. There are over 2,000 promises that have to do with our material needs. How many times does God have to say it? He will take care of His own. He will take care of us. Psalm 91:4 says, He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. I want you to look at that last phrase. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. That means we take God's faithfulness to His Word, to His promise to care for us, and we get behind that shield, and when the enemy fires his fiery darts, when he shoots those fiery darts warning you to worry, warning you to be afraid, you just get behind that door shield of God's faithfulness and say, I'm not going to doubt God. God's going to take care of me. God's going to provide. I refuse to worry. I'm going to trust God. So you don't need to worry because God loves and cares for you. You don't need to worry because if you're worrying, you're not trusting God. Third reason Jesus says you don't need to worry is because worry is absolutely useless. It doesn't do any good. You're just burning up energy. You're just wasting energy. Worry does not accomplish anything good. We worry about things we cannot change. If it's in the past, it's already happened, and you can't change it. It's done. If it's in the future, you can't change it because it hadn't happened yet. You know, tomorrow never gets here. It's always today. So it doesn't do any good. Jesus said you cannot add 1 hour to your life by worrying. In fact, you take time away from your life by worrying. Dr. Charles Mayo of the Mayo Clinic wrote these words. Worry affects the circulation, the heart, the glands, and the whole nervous system. He says, I've never met a man or known a man to die from overworking. But I have known many to die of worry. It doesn't lengthen your life to worry. It shortens your life. 90% of the things we worry about never happen. You go back and think about the things you worried about, and 90% of them or more never even happen. So you don't need to worry. It doesn't do any good. Absolutely useless. And then the fourth reason, because unbelievers worry. In verse 32, for the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. When you worry, you're acting like an unbeliever. You're not acting like a child of God. You're not acting like one who's been redeemed through the blood of Christ. You're acting just like somebody that doesn't have a God at all when you worry. You're acting just like an unbeliever. So he says, don't worry. Now, how to overcome worry? That's what you've been waiting for, right? How can you leave here today never, ever having to worry again? All right, here it is. And it's true because it doesn't come from me. First and foremost, it's found in verse 33. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The absolute most important thing to save you from worry is to seek first God and His kingdom, which means to surrender everything you are and everything you have to God. That's the only way you're going to be free from worry. Surrender your family to Him. Surrender your possessions to Him. Surrender your goals to Him. Surrender your desires to Him. Be only concerned with God's will and God's glory. Be only concerned with seeking Him and what He wants. And you'll be free from worry. You say you don't need to worry because it's not yours, it's God's. You don't need to worry about that car because that car is not yours, it's God's. You don't need to worry about that house is not yours, it's God's. You don't need to worry about your family, they're God's. And He's going to take care of them. You don't need to worry about that job, it's God's. Why worry about the future? It's God's. John Wesley was preaching away from his hometown. And someone came up to him and said, John Wesley, your house has burned down. Your house has burned down. He said, no, it hasn't. He said, I don't have a house. And the one I live in belongs to God. And if it's burned down, it's just one less thing I need to be responsible for. Now, if you and I could come to that place, we wouldn't worry, would we? It was God's house. He wasn't worried about it. He knew God would provide somewhere for him to sleep, somewhere for him to live. When in total surrender, I say, whatever you want, God, that's what I want. Then I will be free from worry. We worry because we don't think things are going to turn out the way we want them to. I feel this lump on my leg, right? Oh, man, guess I better go get it checked out. So I go to the doctor. And the doctor said, yeah, we need to take that out. We need to look at it. Might be cancer. He takes it out, and what do I do? Oh, I got cancer. I'm going to have cancer. Oh, if I got cancer, I got to go through chemo. Oh, if I might have to have radiation. Oh, and I get all upset and all worried. But if I took that same situation, and I said, God, you know, I really don't want cancer, but whatever will bring you the most glory, that's what I really want. If me having cancer and going through chemotherapy and going through radiation and maybe even having to have my leg amputated will bring you the most glory. That's why I live. I'm going to trust that to you. And I wouldn't worry. It's when I want things to turn out my way, and I'm afraid they're not going to turn out my way, that I start worrying and trying to change things so they will. But if I come to that place of absolute total surrender and say, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want. I just want your glory. You will have peace. You will not worry. That's the number one most important thing. Surrender all to Him. Give it all to Him. Desire His glory above everything. Above your comfort. Above your financial security. Above everything. And you'll have peace. Number two. Live each day one day at a time. Verse 34. Do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Again, Jesus is talking about worrying about the future. He says, worry is a concern of the things that might happen in the future. What if so-and-so happens? And then so-and-so might happen and we get in knots. You see, when you get thinking about the future and all these things happening, your body starts secreting adrenaline and you just get all hyped up, but you can't do anything about it. And it becomes destructive to your body. You become frustrated. You become uptight. Jesus says, live today. Today's got enough problems to work on. You can't solve tomorrow's problems. Work on today's issues. And then the next day you can work on those. It's like the guy we heard about who was a lumberjack, and he and his wife were assigned by the lumber company, this was some years ago, out to the forest, and he was told by the lumber company, we want you to clear this forest. And so he went out one day, and he came back about an hour later, and he looked all dejected, and his wife said, what's wrong? And he said, it's too much. I can't do it. I see all these trees, and I just get overwhelmed. He went back home. Next morning, he did the same thing, came back in an hour later. I can't do it. It's just too overwhelming. There's too many trees. She said, look, just pick out three trees. Those are today's problem. Take care of those three trees today, and then tomorrow, you can take care of three more. He started doing that, and lo and behold, in a few weeks, he began to see daylight, didn't he? Right? Because he wasn't worrying about the future. He was taking care of each problem as he faced it that day. So Jesus said, leave each day one day at a time. Concentrate on solving the problems of today. Number three, realize the same God that's with us today will be with us tomorrow. Hebrews has some insightful words for us. Hebrews 13, make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Isn't it interesting that the writer of Hebrews puts money in this context? Being content with what you have. For He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? He says, look, be free from the love of money. Be content with what you have because you got Jesus. And He said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. True contentment comes from your relationship with Jesus, not the things you have, not the amount of money you have. Rich folks are not content. If you ever thought, man, if I could just win the lottery, wouldn't have another care in the world. Now that shows you're not trusting in God, you're trusting in your finances, thinking that that would solve your problem. Let me tell you, you would have more problems than you can imagine. You look at it, if you take all those who've won the lottery and you look at them as a whole, you will see some of the most miserable people. Many of them end in divorce. Their marriages fall apart. That is not the answer. And if you think it is, it's because you're trusting in something other than your God. He says that He will be with us, He will help us, and we don't need to be afraid of what anybody can do to us. Because the God is the same God today, will be with us tomorrow. The psalmist says, the righteous man does not fear evil tidings because he trusts in the Lord. He's not afraid something bad's going to happen tomorrow or the next day, because he knows if it does, God's grace is going to be there to see him through it. God's grace will be sufficient for whatever happens in the future. You see, when we worry about things in the future, we don't have God's grace then. God never gives a grace until we need it. You don't need tomorrow's grace today. And so we think about all these things that might happen in the future, and we don't have God's grace to deal with it, and we get all uptight. But truth is, if it did happen, when it happened, you would have God's grace, and He would enable you to do it. That's why now you can look back at things in your life and you think, how did I ever go through that? Man, how did I get through that? Well, the way you got through it was God's grace was with you. But as you're thinking back over it, you don't have the grace for it at that time, and you can't figure it. You say, man, that was wonderful. I got through that, wasn't it? But it was God's grace. And that same grace that was there in the past is going to be there in the future if you need it. And then the fourth thing, refuse anxious, worrisome thoughts. Do not allow yourself to dwell on negative thoughts. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. And if you allow your mind to entertain anxious, worrisome thoughts, then you're going to worry. But refuse to do that by fixing your thoughts on God. I love Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace. Who? Whose mind is stayed on you. And we sung a song about having your mind stayed on Jesus. Isaiah says, he will keep him in perfect peace. Not a little peace, not some peace, but perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You fix your mind on God rather than on your problems and you won't worry. Because if you fix your mind on God, you will trust in him. Because your focus will be on him. Those two spies, Joshua and Caleb, didn't worry because their mind was stayed on God. They said, God can enable us to overcome. And when you and I are going through our situations, if we will place our thoughts on God, we will be in perfect peace. Also, the Scripture says, and Mark referred to this one today as well, in Lamentations 3, the Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease. I think it was last week he talked about this. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God's going to be with you. His mercies are going to be renewed every day. They're not going to run out. His faithfulness is going to continue to be with you no matter what. And Paul talks about this in Philippians 4, when he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what will happen if you do that? And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. But he goes on to say, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Not on the worrisome, anxious thoughts, but dwell on that which is honorable and right and pure and lovely. These things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and what will happen? And the peace, the God of peace, will be with you. Now, the God of peace is the one that gives you peace. The peace of God and the God of peace will be with you if you will refuse to allow those anxious, worrisome thoughts to be in your mind. Replace them with thoughts about God. You can't quit thinking. But you can't push those thoughts out and replace them with thoughts about God and about those things that are lovely. That describes God's Word, doesn't it? It describes God and His Word. Lovely, honorable, right, pure, good repute, excellent, worthy of praise. That's the Word of God. That's our God we're talking about. Spend time thinking about God. Spend time in His Word. And then live out, practice the truth that you see in the Word, and the peace of God will fill your heart and mind. And you won't worry. All right, let me summarize. How can you stop from worrying? Seek God's glory above all else. That's foremost. If you get there, you won't worry anymore. And when you're worrying, that should be a red light saying, wait a minute, I'm not seeking God's glory here. I'm seeking what I want. And that should be a red light. You should say, okay, wait a minute, God. I want to seek Your glory, not what I want. And then you'll have His peace. Live each day, one day at a time. Realize the unchanging God is with us. And refuse anxious thoughts by fixing your thoughts on God. You've heard the truth. I know it's easier said than done. But by God's grace, you can do it. But the choice is yours now. Will you spend the rest of your life worrying and worrying and worrying, or will you trust God? Let's pray. We do welcome you, and I'm glad that you have taken the opportunity to listen to a sermon on our internet. And I want you just to know that everybody in the church is not like me. I have these fellows up here, our leadership team. This is Filiberto Medina, who is our Hispanic pastor. And our Hispanic congregation meets every Sunday evening at 6:30. This is Paul Kumar. He is our Minister of Community Connections. And to my left is Mark Baker, who heads up our Reformers Unanimous Ministry, which is a Christian addiction recovery program that meets every Friday night at 7 o'clock. So if you live in the Mableton area, and it doesn't matter what race you're from, it doesn't matter your cultural background, I want you to know you are welcome at Westside Church. This is where everybody is somebody, and Jesus is Lord. Hope you'll join us soon.
Thank you for being with us for this message. Each week, Dr. Stewart gives practical applications on ways to live out the Word of God. If you would like more information, please take a moment to view our website at wbcfamily.org. That's wbcfamily.org.